This, as you know, is the Sunday before Thanksgiving. The holidays are upon us. And yesterday I was in my study and I was thinking about the holidays. And I was thinking, can you find one word, a one-word summary that would explain our holidays in the United States? Have you ever thought about that? You're saying, no way, Matt, I'm busy. I've got two words that can summarize all the holidays. It's simply no work. That's my two words to summarize it. Well, let me give you mine, my attempt at summarizing each holiday in just one word. The 4th of July. What's the one word that comes to your mind when you think of that holiday? Fireworks. How about Labor Day? My one one word summary? No. Summer's over? How could that be? How about Halloween? Candy. Or if you're raised in a church like I was raised in, it would be Satan. That'd be the one word summary. Christmas. If we're honest, it's presents. That's it. Easter. Eggs. Come on, we've got to be honest. Memorial Day. In Grant's past, I would say the one-word summary for Memorial Day, boat neck. Got to be boat neck. I thought about being from Grant's past. I thought about the one-word summary could be Halloween because it seems like half the people I see are still in their costumes. So, could be Halloween. Then what about Thanksgiving? If you were to summarize that holiday in one word, what would it be? What would be the one-word summary for Thanksgiving?
Football.
Speaking of, Thursday morning, if you're a man, you better sign up for the second annual Mud Bowl. So I expect to see you out there. What's the one-word summary of Thanksgiving? I'm going to say, try this one on. I'm going to say it's overlooked. Huh? What do you mean overlooked? Well, it was 4 days after Halloween. And I was busy that day. It was a Sunday, so it's a long day for me. We had a birthday party to go to. Went to this birthday party. Got home about 6 o'clock from this birthday party. Got into our house, and so I just happened to click on there the Sunday night football game on NBC. See who was playing. My wife is like, what is going on? First it was Sunday morning football, and then you had Monday night football. But then they added to Sunday morning football with a Sunday night football. You've already got Saturday morning football with college ball, but then to add to Saturday morning college football, now they have a Saturday night college football game. And to add a Saturday night college football, now they have a Thursday night college football game, and you already have Friday high school college football. She said, what in the world is going on now? And I just simply said, you know us guys, we're trying to make things down here as close to heaven as possible. And so I'm not really tuned into the game. I was actually on the computer checking out some news and stuff. And all of a sudden, I heard my wife say, what is that? And my automatic response now is, it was the girls. It wasn't me. I didn't track mud up the stairs. I didn't put the empty milk container back in the fridge. I didn't get water all over the bathroom. It wasn't me. And she said, no, Matt, what is that on the TV? She said, is that a commercial for Christmas? And I looked, and lo and behold, November 4th, already an advertisement for Christmas. And she looked at me and she said, what happened to Thanksgiving? What happened to it? It just seems like it's been overlooked. You just kind of, it's sandwiched in between these two power players of our holidays, Halloween and Christmas. Did you know now, Halloween is the second most commercially successful holiday we have? It's number two. That day, that evening, we as Americans spent $2 billion on candy. $1.5 billion on costumes. And an additional $2.5 billion on decorations for our house and food for that night. $6 billion for an hour or two on a Wednesday evening. Unbelievable. $6 billion. I guess it's the one evening that we get to act like the U.S. government, you know, or Britney Spears. It's crazy. Thanksgiving now just seems to be kind of overlooked. You know, it's from Halloween directly into Christmas. It's the overlooked holiday. And as I thought about that yesterday, I thought, could that be kind of a reflection of where we're at, of my mentality, kind of overlooking Thanksgiving, overlooking being grateful? Does it just reflect us? We take, I think, so much of our lives for granted. What goes right every single day in our lives, we take it for granted. We take it for granted that we woke up this morning. We should be grateful for that until we look in the mirror. We woke up. You flicked on a light switch. Miracle of miracles, a light turned on. Your house didn't leak last night. You got in your car. You turned the key. It started up. It drives down the road. That's incredible to me. Hundreds of little explosions, hundreds of little bombs move you and me down the road. You drove here, you didn't get a flat tire. A tire didn't fall off. You didn't get in a wreck. For some, that's amazing. For others, it's downright miraculous, especially for me. You didn't get in a wreck. A bridge didn't collapse. Your cell phone worked. I'm equally as grateful when it doesn't work in service. All these things, every single day, they work. Do we have any idea? I've thought about this. I've thought about taking a notebook one day and going through my day and writing down everything that I can think of that went right throughout the day. Need to stop at a stop sign. Put on my brakes. My car stopped. Need to turn left. I turned the steering wheel. It turned left. How many things throughout every single day actually go right? What we usually do, what we normally do, is we categorize, we write down, we remember what goes wrong. But in reality, thousands of things every single day go right. I thought about taking a notebook and doing that. But so far, I've actually overlooked doing it. Kind of like Thanksgiving. How many things each and every day go right? And we just take that for granted, that we live in an ordered world. It could be, realistically, our world could be Mad Max. It could be crazy. It could be bizarre. You never know what's going to happen. But in actuality, life is pretty ordered. There's lots of things that happen well that we just simply take for granted. What does it matter, Matt? Who notices? Who cares about that? What's the big deal about being grateful or taking things for granted? Who cares? Well, I believe somebody does. Flip open with me for our Thanksgiving text. It's in the book of Luke. It's Luke chapter 17. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Beginning in verse 11. Luke 17:11. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, this is Jesus, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. Leprosy. These lepers, the worst imaginable disease you could get was leprosy. The minute you were diagnosed with leprosy, you would immediately be kicked out of your home, fired from your job, removed from whatever town you lived in, forced to live in a leper colony, quarantined, ostracized by everyone else. That's why it says they stood afar off. You're not allowed to get close to people. In fact, if somebody was walking towards you, when they got within 50 yards of you, you'd begin to have to declare over and over and over until they're out of sight, unclean, unclean, unclean. Don't get close to me. I'm unclean. I have leprosy. But that's probably the way you would want it, because leprosy was a very gruesome disease. The first thing that would happen to a person is their fingers would begin to rot off and they would end up with no fingers. Then it would begin to affect the way you looked. Your nose would rot off. Your ears would rot off. Your face would puff up kind of like a lion. It'd be really big and grotesque looking. You wouldn't want people to see you. You'd want to be quarantined. You wouldn't want to be around people. Unclean. Don't get close to me. It's a frightening, brutal disease. People that would see lepers would be afraid of them. Kids would shriek in terror because of them. I know how it feels. I've met one leper in my lifetime. It was about a year ago when we as a church sent some folks over to India. I went with the group. And we entered into this little village there. It was pretty small. And there was a little group of people, and I remember kind of looking, kind of scanning the crowd, and I spotted this gal. She was in her late 60s probably. And the very first thing that I noticed was she had no fingers on her hands. They were rotted off. It's grotesque looking. And because of, I knew she had leprosy because I've seen, you know, pictures of it. I've read books on it. I've seen documentaries on it. And because I'm a pastor, whenever there's something a little bit, well, strange, the first thing they do, the first thing our guides would do, the first thing Israel or Billy would do is, go grab Pastor Matt, you know. Go get him. Hey, there's an 8-foot-long king cobra. Go get Matt. Show him that. Pastor Matt, come here. Since you're important, get a front row seat. You know, look really close. No, you can get right up next to this thing. Ugh. No thanks. Hey, this guy has medically resistant tuberculosis. Go get Matt. This guy has SARS or, you know, avian bird flu. Go get Matt. Go get Pastor Matt. Now, I'm kind of weak-stomached, number one. But number two, I really don't want to get any kind of disease. I'm just not interested in that. I want to go home without those memories. And so I saw this lady, and I knew immediately it was going to happen. And so I pretended to turn around to go pray and meditate. You know, I'm out of here. But Billy Graham, you know him, the short, very energetic guy. He immediately saw this lady, and it was time to get Pastor Matt. Pastor Matt, praise the Lord. Come here, Pastor Matt. Pastor Matt, we have a lady with leprosy. Hallelujah. Come here. And so, okay, here we go. And I'll tell you, the very first thought that went through my mind was this. Matt, don't be a glory hog. Send Aaron Frelick instead. Send him over there. But it was too late. She was right there, and she began to, through a translator, kind of tell me her life story, and she keeps showing me these, you know, her hands. And I wish I wasn't this way, but I started getting just, you know, turning white, and my knees are starting to kind of ache, and I'm thinking, I'm not going to make it much longer, you know. Thankfully, she interpreted that as compassion. And so she just reached out, and she just hugged me, just, you know, grabbed a hold of me and hugged me. And she actually held on to me for about the next 10 minutes. I don't know how she did that because she didn't have fingers, but somehow she got me. And my heart melted. And so we as a church were able to find out her situation, and we gave her a gift, which, you know, to most of us would be a day's wage. But I found out that that was actually the amount of money because of her condition that would probably easily pay for the next couple of years of her life. So we were able to just bless her and take care of her. But I'll tell you what, I was frightened. I still wonder today, you know, should I go get tested for leprosy or something? Every time my hands itch a little bit. You wonder because it's a frightening disease, and that's the way it was viewed back, and it was viewed, oh, bad news. Ostracized. Set apart, quarantined, don't come close to me. You're a leper. And so these 10 lepers stood afar off as Jesus comes into this place in verse 13. They lifted up their voices and they said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And verse 14, when he saw them, he said unto them, "Go show yourselves unto the priests." And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Heal us, Jesus. Do something for us. And so Jesus says, "Go show yourselves to the priests." That was the only way a leper could be allowed back into his family, back into his work, back into his community, if he got an okay from the priest. So Jesus was in essence saying, "Hey, you're healed. Go show yourself to the priest." So they begin to walk toward Jerusalem, walk up towards Jerusalem. On their way, things begin to happen. Judah, your nose. What about my nose? You have one now. Abraham, your scalp. What about it? I can't see your skull anymore. And for the first time in years, these guys went from giving high ones to giving high fives. They were healed. That's the truth. You know, it's just the way it is. They're healed. And so now they... Would you stop? And so now, this is not funny. And so now check out what happens, verse 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? One guy now out of 10 turns around, comes back to Jesus, glorifies God, falls on his face, gives thanks to Jesus. And notice Jesus' reaction. Not my reaction when someone thanks me. I'd be, "Oh, no problem, man. Totally. Let me know if there's anything else I can do for you." You know? Jesus doesn't answer that way. He says, "Where's everybody else?" Jesus noticed who was thankful. Jesus noticed who was grateful. "Why didn't those other guys return?" Jesus asked. "What's their deal? Why didn't they return? Why did only one guy out of 10 turn around and give thanks?" Let me suggest to you, there's hidden in this text possibly the reason. Jesus in verse 18 says this, "There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger." He calls the man that's there a stranger. In verse 16, he's called a Samaritan. The Samaritan gave thanks. Who's a Samaritan? Samaritans were 700 years before Jesus' time. A group called the Assyrians, a brutal, hard group of people, came down into Israel, defeated the land, lived there for some period, took for themselves wives from the Jews, and produced children. They were half Assyrian, half Jews. Those children were then called Samaritans, and they were second-class citizens at best. Despised, hated. If you want to insult somebody, you call them a Samaritan. Second-class citizens. He's the one, the second-class citizen, the one that's despised. He's the one that came back and gave thanks. The 10 others, or the 9 other guys? The 9 other guys, the first-class citizens, they didn't. I think that's a hint. I think they thought, "We deserve to be healed. We're God's chosen people. We deserve to be blessed. What took Jesus so long? Why did he wait all this time? I'm a chosen child of God. Why haven't I been blessed in the way that I want to be blessed? They thought they deserved to be healed. They thought they deserved to be cleansed. That's my guess. Because what I found is this. When I think I deserve something owed to me, I'm not very grateful when I get it. The raise at work. Man, it's about time they figured out how important I am. The Christmas bonus, that's almost what I deserve. 5-course meal. Finally, my wife realizes who she married. I've noticed when I think I deserve something that I'm not grateful for it when I finally get it. I think these other 9 that weren't Samaritans, that thought they were first-class citizens, I think they thought, I deserve it. Should have healed me a while later. He should have healed me years ago. Take it for granted. When I think I deserve something, I take when I get it for granted. That's what I do. I've noticed I take a lot of things for granted. I noticed it when I was in India as well. They pray every time you take off in a car and every time you return. Every time you take a trip, you pray before you leave and you pray when you get home. And because of the traffic, most of us Americans are praying when we're driving as well. Lots of prayer. They asked me one time, Pastor Matt, would you pray, you know, before we leave? And so I said, Lord, thank you, you know, bless us, do exceedingly abundantly above what we could ever ask or think. Just typical, you know, Matt Heverly prayer. When we got back, Billy Graham prayed. Much different prayer. Lord, oh, we thank you that we got home safe today. We thank you that all 4 tires held air. We thank you that the shocks didn't break on those potholes. We thank you that the frame didn't crack from all that vibration. We thank you that we didn't hit anybody on the road. We thank you that radical Hindus didn't skin us alive. They're very thankful because they don't take anything for granted. We don't take it for granted that you can just go to the store and come back. We don't take it for granted, just the easiness of life. And because they don't take it for granted, because they don't think they deserve it, they find themselves, I find those people over there, the most thankful people I've ever been around. They're constantly thanking the Lord. Things are working out. Things are good. I'll tell you, for this year, this next year, one of my pledges to myself is to stop taking stuff for granted. Stop taking how life works so well for me for granted. Instead of looking at all the bad things that happened to me throughout the day, instead of doing that, look at all the things that worked out during that day. James 1:17 says, every good and every perfect gift comes from God. God, you're working things out. The reason why my life worked today, the reason why things fit together today, it's you, and I'm not going to take that for granted anymore. I'm going to give you thanks. Before we go, I want you to notice, what I want you to notice is the results of this attitude of gratitude on this man. Verse 19. And he, Jesus, said unto him, arise, go your way, your faith hath made thee whole. 10 men were cleansed. 1 man was made whole. 10 men were cleansed of their disease, of leprosy. Only 1 man was made whole. The man that was thankful. The man that had gratitude. And here's the dealing. Here's the deal. Healing is passing. Wholeness is permanent. What do you mean? Healing, it's passing, but wholeness, it's permanent. Healing is passing. These guys were healed of leprosy, but you know what? Eventually, they'd get another disease. Maybe not leprosy. Eventually, there'd be some new problem. Eventually, there'd be some new need. Eventually, there's going to be something that they're going to need healing for again. That's a fact of life. You get healed from something, you get a prayer answered, whatever happens, eventually there's something new that comes up. There's some new need, some new desire, some new prayer request. Healing is passing. These guys eventually would get a disease that would kill them. They're not alive today. Eventually, there's going to be some new need to be healed from. Healing is passing. Wholeness, though, and I use healing in a very broad sense, our needs, you know, it's passing. But here it says, Jesus says to him, you have been made whole. Wholeness is permanent. That word for whole there in the Greek is zozo. It can also be translated preserving. There's a permanence, a preserving that comes to people that are grateful. Your faith hath made thee whole. Because our wholeness is not based on what we get. Our wholeness is based on our gratitude. You're made whole because you're a grateful guy. You're made whole. I think too many times I run through life. Many of us run through life. We're not whole. We're fractions. We're a half. We're a third. We're a tenth. Because we have this idea, we need another healing. What do I mean by that? I need, Lord, you to heal my car. I want a 2007 model. Lord, I need you to heal my wife. I want a new wife. Lord, I need you to heal my house. I want a different house. Lord, I want you to heal my job. And we pin our lives on that next thing. The next thing. That'll be it. When I finally get that healing for whatever it is, then I'll be whole. That'll satisfy me. But you get that thing, that it, the new job, the new house, the whatever, and you find, nothing wrong with the new house, nothing wrong with the new job, nothing wrong with the new car. The problem is when we begin to pin our wholeness, our lives, our satisfaction on that thing, that healing, it will never be able to satisfy you. Wholeness. Wholeness is permanent, and it comes from simple gratitude. It will permanently make you whole. Too many times we think, Lord, I'm missing out on life. I'm missing out on some part of life because I don't have something. Don't have this healing, this answered prayer. And life seems like it's unsatisfactory to you and me. The most complete whole people I've ever met in my life were people that were thankful. Grateful. People that didn't have much in the way that we would think of it. But they were happy. They were wholesome. They were thankful. Lord, thank you for this day. You want to be a whole person, not a fraction? Learn the lesson of this Samaritan. Take time every single day and do verses 15 and 16. Glorify God. Give him thanks. And what you'll find is you have this wholeness in your life. Just a simple step. Lord, thank you for allowing me to wake up. Thank you that I opened my eyes and they were able to convert this electromagnetic radiation into visible things that I didn't bump into. Wow. Thank you that my eyes work. These bodies are phenomenal machines. One little error in them, and it throws everything off. We have so much to be grateful for. I want to be whole. I don't want to be a fraction. This next year, my personal pledge is to really be grateful. Instead of looking at what goes wrong in my life, start looking at what has gone right in my life every single day. And it will lead to wholeness, satisfaction, completeness. Be thankful. Not necessarily for the things you have. Be thankful that things work together. Be thankful for the little things that every single day go right for you. And you'll find wholeness. Father, we do want to be whole. We don't want to be like the nine that left just healed but not whole. We know that healing is passing. There's always going to be some need, some desire, some issue, Lord. And if we base our lives on that need, that issue, that fleetingness, Lord, we're just going to be fractions. So help me, Lord, to begin to look at life and see what goes right every single day. To look at life and see what you are doing to hold my life together. May I be a grateful person, Lord. May we be a grateful church. May we be grateful people, Lord, and may that make us whole, complete. Zodzo. Bless us, Lord. We are thankful. We're thankful to be saved. We're thankful to be your kids. We're thankful to be in this wonderful community. We're thankful for, Lord, this beautiful country that you've given us. We thank you for the freedom, Lord, that's been entrusted to us. Lord, I pray that we would, as a church, be those that rise up in the morning and glorify God and give you thanks before we start our day. Oh, lead us into wholeness, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Have a great Thanksgiving. God bless you guys.